Are you ready?
Yes.
We've been on the subject of faith, building our trust in God. And I want to remind you, I think I've said this before, but I've taught it a couple different places this last week, so I'm not sure where I said it. But if you think you don't have faith, think again, because you had to have faith to get born again. And I think I've said that out here, but I'm not sure. You've already operated in faith. If you accepted Jesus as Lord, you believed in a virgin birth. You've already believed the impossible.
Amen.
You believe that God became man, which is impossible to the scientific mind. You believe that he died, that he was in the heart of the earth 3 days, and then he rose again from the grave, and then he ascended. You've already had great faith. And I want to remind you of John 20, verse 29, when Jesus is talking to Thomas. You remember all the disciples, Jesus has been resurrected, and then Thomas is like, yeah, let me touch where those nails were. And Jesus said this to Thomas. He said, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
Amen.
That's you. Jesus just spoke a blessing over you. Blessings are coming to you simply because you didn't see, yet here you sit, there you worshiped, here you're reading his word, here you're choosing to trust him to the best of your ability. Jesus just spoke a blessing over you for having that faith.
Amen.
Don't read over that. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So we're working on our believing. We're working on getting to a place where we don't just read the word, but that we trust God with what we read, applying it in our own lives. So go with me to Romans 10. I can't remember if we've been there at all during this series yet, but I know we mentioned it. But let's start earlier than what we normally do. Let's go up to verse 1. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. Are you there?
Yes.
Romans 10. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them, speaking about Israel, that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God, what's the righteousness of God? Right? It's the free gift that Jesus gave us, his standing with the Father, right? We didn't have to earn it. Jesus gave it to us. We receive it by faith. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God, they seek to establish their own righteousness, right? They're trying to do it by works, by keeping the law. They seek to establish their own, and they did not submit to God's righteousness. I'm going to try not to preach on righteousness because we taught on it about 8 weeks, but that's really hard because that is such an important part of believing. You can't earn what God's promised.
Amen.
You have to trust him and believe him for it and know that, yeah, in our natural state, we didn't deserve it. But Jesus put us in a place where we can receive it by the righteousness that he gave us, right? Verse 4, I guess I did get to preach on righteousness a little bit there anyway, didn't I? Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. I believe. Verse 5, for Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, and I just have in extra big letters, faith says. Faith speaks. Faith says something. This is the way faith talks. Faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven to bring Christ down? Or who will descend to the abyss, that is to bring up Christ from the dead? Jesus is not coming back down to do anything. It is finished. He is seated. And it's up to us to receive what he's already done. Jesus is not going to come down here and touch your sick auntie. He took stripes on his back for your sick auntie.
Amen.
Right? And he's not going to suffer and go back to the heart of the earth again. It's finished. It's done. You don't have to keep paying. He doesn't have to keep paying for your sins, paying for your sins. He paid for your sins, right? So faith doesn't say who's going to ascend and who's going to bring him back up. Verse 8 says, but what does it say? What does faith say? Faith says, the word is near me. I'm going to put it personal, okay? You put it personal. Faith is near me. It is in my mouth and it is in my heart. That is the word of faith that I proclaim. Because if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I'm saved. Amen. I'm saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls, faith has a voice, who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Today's lesson is the speaker inside of me. The speaker inside of us. The speaker inside of us. We were made in the image of a speaking God. He's still speaking. His word speaks to me every single time I read it. And there's times when I'm seeking the Lord, as we just sang, and I'm needing answers. I've been dealing with some things for about the last 10 days. And I just finally just vomited it all out on Rusty last night. Just whoop. And then I had to go to the tub, you know, the holy place. And I had to get the word on. And I'm like, man, I need to talk to Mark. I need to talk to. And then I'd say, no, I need to talk to Ken. And then I'm like, well, Tom Wilkins knows everything. And you know, just shut up, Susan, and get quiet. Seek the Lord. Amen. Trust him. Amen. Do you trust him? If you're not to a place where you trust him, you can get there. Amen. You can. You got to know him to trust him. So even if the word, even if the scripture, the Bible, when I say the word, I'm talking about the Bible, this is the word of God. It is the will of God. Even if it doesn't all make sense to you yet, Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. I mean, go and just start reading the New Testament and just look at Jesus. And just see the compassion of him and what he did to offer you the complete plan of salvation. And then things will start connecting for you. I'm still connecting the dots. I was listening to a guy preach to me last night, and he was saying things that was, I was like, I know, I should know this. And I know the principle, but he would say it, Ava, in a way that was like, ding, ding, ding. I mean, it was like he was ringing the dinner bell and I couldn't get enough. I don't even know what time. I had to reheat my water, I know that. Praise God. It just keeps unfolding. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open, you know. So get excited about his word again. You've got to know him to be able to trust what he's saying. And remember that he is speaking and we are his speaking children. Right? We're his speaking children. We're made in his image and after his likeness. What's he like? He's a speaking God. And he's not up there speaking negatives. He's up there speaking truth. What he says is the truth. What I feel may feel true, but it is not the truth. Amen. There is a higher truth, and that is his word. And God uses his word to speak his will. And a lot of people don't realize, why do we just don't know the will of God? You never know what God's going to do. Well, then you hadn't read the book. Because, I mean, he kind of laid it out for us. It's like we have the game plan before we're in the game. And we can read it and we can know what his will is. And he created us with a speaker for a reason. Amen. Faith doesn't just think things. But the righteousness based on faith says, the word is near me. It's in my mouth and in my heart. It's not just in my heart. It's also in my mouth. If you call on the name of the Lord, evoking him as Lord, you will be saved. Amen. We were made with a speaker. And I thought about speakers. We got a few around here. A speaker can only sound out and amplify what it's connected to. That speaker can be disconnected, and it has absolutely no power. And I'm not going to do this to you, Garrett, and I'm not going to do it to them. But that speaker can blow you off these pews. Some of you think it already does. We have not maxed it out. The board has made me stay within safe hearing decibels. I'm saying that wrong. Did I say it right? Thank you. Yeah, my mind went to math, and then my mind started swirling when I thought about, anyway. That speaker connected to the sound, the speaking. Right now, it's amplifying me. When you speak God's word, it amplifies, it magnifies the Lord. What is your speaker connected to? You can listen to your words and you'll find out. For some of you, your connector is connected to fishing. He hasn't been since yesterday. I don't think he went this morning. Sometimes he goes in the morning before church. Is your speaker connected to Arkansas Razorback softball? Come on. Okay, we got a few fans. What is your, and it's okay. Look, we have hobbies, and I think God gets a kick out of it. I think he wants us to enjoy things. But listen to your words. Are your words, do they tend to go negative? Because left alone, they will go negative. You have to force, go out, get you a nice plot of land, good fertile soil, and just leave it be and see what happens. It doesn't grow fruits and vegetables. Left alone, you have to plant a seed, right? You have to put in the soil what you want to grow. Right, the parable of the sower from Mark 4. It's a great study. If you need to study this, study it. But you can listen to your words and you can know. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. Unless I tell you otherwise, everything I'm reading is from the ESV, okay? I just don't do good with these and thous. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here. Matthew 12, we're going down to verse 33. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers. You don't see this on very many Christian t-shirts. You brood of vipers. I'm not suggesting it, Sarah. I'm not. I can't picture this one selling well. You brood of vipers. How can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance, not something that you heard when you read the word or come to church twice a year. That is not going to be abundance. Somehow, some way, you need to be seeing, hearing something from God's word daily. Somehow, some way. podcast. Of course, I always encourage you to read your Bible. But you also need to be speaking it. Because we're going to read some scripture right here that's going to help us understand some things and some other passages that we're going to go to. Well, let's just go back. Keep going back to Romans 10. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. If you really want to get something in your heart, say it. We were made to believe what we say. We were made to receive what we say. And you can say something, you can tell a lie long enough that your heart will receive it and believe it. So we think people are crazy for that, but we've done it ourselves. And maybe not to a detrimental state, but to some degree, you may think you are a certain way and it is not how God sees you. Then it's a lie. You've believed a lie. It hits me better than it hits y'all, I guess, because I believe some lies. Either make the tree good, but man, God's word straightens me out, doesn't it? Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance, circle the word, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You will talk about what you have heard. If you've been watching the softball tournament, you're going to be talking about softball. It's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying let's learn a lesson from it. Because if we are hearing the word, seeing the word, hearing the word, speaking the word, it's going to be in our heart in abundance. And then when that thing happens that tries to drive fear through the heart of you, you have a verbal response. You don't have to call me and say, I need a scripture on such and such. Please, if you need a scripture on such and such, call us. We'd be glad to help you. But man, if we could get instant with our verbal response, we can save ourselves from worry and dread and fear and all the things that come with that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person, out of his good treasure, my dad used to use the word deposit, and I really think that makes better sense, that wording. The good person out of his good deposit brings forth good, because you can only bring out good out of your deposit, what you've put in. So we want to draw something out that we haven't put in. The mundane things, the dailies, I think we called it last week. The things you're doing daily may not seem great, exciting, and you may not post about them on social media. But if you read the word, you are making a good deposit, and you will have something good to bring out. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. That was all the answer to how can you speak good? By making good deposits. So thank you for coming to the bank of RCC today and making a good deposit of the word and choosing to sit here and to hear God's word when it is a beautiful day outside. And I think, he's sitting back there. He might can hear me. Jim Frost was at the front door, still is, I see him on the security team. He said, I may have to do security from this bench out here today. And I said, I think that's a great idea. Go for it. It's a beautiful day. And here we are getting to serve a beautiful God on a beautiful day here in his wonderful word. The words that come out of our mouth produce. That's what he just said. The words that come out of our mouth produce. And they produce good or bad. They produce. Those words come out of what's in abundance in my heart. And this is why we listen to the word. This is why we need to be connected to his word. Because his word produces his will. being in the will of God is the most fun place to be. I was talking to Rusty about the will of God for my life, and just we were just talking about different things. I was like, this is non-negotiable, this is non-negotiable, this is non-negotiable, this is non-negotiable. Different things in my life that are non-negotiable. Taking care of my mother, that's non-negotiable.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Non-negotiables. These are non-negotiables. These are non-negotiables. His word puts us in his will, and it's just the best place to be. You just won't be satisfied anywhere else. It's the safest place to be. It's the most fun place to be. Even on the bad days, you still come down to this. That's non-negotiable. Because it's just where you want to be. Mark Hankins said this. If you haven't listened to Mark Hankins, he's a hoot. And I just love the way he words things. He said, the word was spoken before it was written. I'm not through yet. He's got another part to that, but I just want to sit on that for a minute. The word was spoken before it was written. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. Light be was spoken before it was written. The word was spoken before it was written, and it was written so it can be spoken. You've listened to it. Isn't that good? It was written so we could speak it. It was written so we could know him, so we can understand him. I'm telling you, this is the message that activates change. And you all know where you need change. It may be in your mental health. It may be in your physical health. It may be in your business, in your finances, in your family. I don't know where it is, that your boldness and your witness for Christ. I don't know where it is, but you all know where you need change. What are you saying about that area? Because you have a speaker, and it is speaking. It is speaking what it's connected to. If it's connected to God's word, it's going to be speaking God's word into that area. And that's what activates the change that you're looking for. You trust God. You have to trust God enough to say it. You had to trust him enough to say it when you got born again. You called on the Lord and you were saved. A lot of people believe that Jesus is the Son of God. A lot of people believe that he died and rose again. But until they call on him, evoking him as their Lord, until their speaker speaks what they believe, just telling you what the word says. We acknowledge him before men. He acknowledges us before the Father. Amen. You can't get past Genesis 1 without seeing this truth. God said, and God saw. God said and God saw. God said and God saw. It's not God saw and so he said. And that's where humanity wants to live. We want to say what we see. Hebrews 11:3 echoes this from Genesis. I'm not going to cover Hebrews 11 today, but we're going to go to verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So if you're saying, I just can't see it, I just can't see it. I don't think we'll ever get these bills paid. I just can't see it. I don't know when we'll get to retire. I just can't see it. I don't know if I'm healed or not. I just can't see it. I don't know if we'll ever have children or not. I just can't see it. If you're saying you just can't see it, you're in a great position to receive faith. Because by faith, we understand that the universe that we live in It was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen, it was not made out of things that were visible. But God spoke. He spoke. And it changed things. Things can change. What a good message God gave us. Things can change. Go with me to Isaiah, one of my favorite passages. Old Testament, big book. Pretty easy to find back there. I like the big books. It's those minor prophets that give me trouble. Sometimes I have to go to the front of my Bible. And I go through that little Books of the Bible song in my head, and sometimes I don't make it to the minor prophets. Isaiah 55. And I'm not sure how they feel about being called minor, Jay. They might have a word for us when we get there. It's like, what qualified me as minor, you know? Isaiah 55. Just because they weren't as wordy as Isaiah. Isaiah 55. We're going to go down to verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Forsake our ways that we had before. Forsake the unrighteous thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God speaking, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. But you know what? He didn't leave us there. He kept going. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. As his word will be like the rain and snow that come down from heaven and don't return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, bringing change, right? Giving a seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Listen to this change. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. Some of you need to be saying this every day. I will go out in joy and I will be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before me will break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. You see how the word can change your perception? All that negative, the way you saw things, begins to change because you start listening to the word that he sent you, speaking the word that he sent you, and now the whole world starts looking different. And here's my favorite part, instead of, verse 13, circle those words, instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I love that instead of. He sent his word. He gave seed to the sower. He gave me his word like a seed for me to sow. So where the weeds were coming up, I have something different to sow in my life. Yeah. Yes. You know, by your parents, you may look like you should have been a certain way, but God gave you a seed. Amen. He gave you a seed to sow. He gave seed to the sower. Only the sowers are going to receive the seed. It's available to anybody. But the moment you say, I'm going to say what your word says in my life, you became a sower, you accepted seed, and when you start planting that in your heart, it will produce seed. Seed produces after like kind. If it's God's word, it's going to produce the God kind of life. You don't plant peas and get green beans. You're planting the word of God in your life. You're going to get Zoe life, the God kind of life. Instead of, I love that. So whatever it is you hate about your life or you don't like about your life, you have instead of available to you. Be a sower of it. Be a sower of it. Say what God said. He sent his word like a seed, but who is the sower? And how do we sow his word? How do we deposit it in our hearts? We read it from Romans 10:8. It's in your mouth and in your heart. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Once it's in your mouth, it goes into your heart. And then when it's in your heart in abundance, it comes out your mouth. And it's just this like cycle that just keeps going. And it's producing in your life. We read it from Matthew 12. It comes from making good deposits. Go study Mark 4, parable of the sower. The sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. And Satan comes immediately to steal the word. What's he saying? About the time you start saying what God said, it's going to look like it ain't working. Why? Because the enemy knows the power of the seed. He knows if you leave it in the ground, if you leave it said, if you don't speak against it, it will produce the God kind of life. And then he's got another believer to deal with. And you go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. So you're working against him. And just laugh and don't be scared, because he's a defeated foe. The sower sows the word. In Isaiah 55, when he says his word does not return to him empty, how does his word return to him not empty? How does his word return to him accomplished? He needs some farmers sowing the seed. Like Psalm 107, I thought about this one. Psalm 107:20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. That's the word he sent. He sent his word. He sent the seed. He sent his word. He said it and it was written. And now we read it and we speak it. He sent his word and he healed you and he delivered you from your destruction. I mean your own stupid destruction. I've claimed that one so many times. He has redeemed me from my own stupid destruction. Stupid mistakes, stupid things I've done, wrong choices I've made. He sent his word and he healed me and he delivered me from my destruction. Right? So for that not to return empty to him, I let it produce in my life. It will accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. He sent it for me. He sent it for you, Rhonda. Farm girl. I mean, speak over those animals. They produce. They multiply, the ones that you want to multiply. I know there's sometimes you're like, whoa, wait a minute. They produce. And your produce sells. People desire your produce. You know, what's our speaker connected to? When I speak his word, I choose to believe it. That's an act of my faith. I believe it. I may not be fully persuaded yet, like Abraham, but I'm headed that way. We are made to believe what we say. That's why lying is hated by God. It's one of the things he hates. When we talk about confessing the word, this is a charismatic phrase that we throw around, and sometimes people come in from different religions, different denominations. They're like, I didn't think we had to do confessionals here. You're not going to come confess to me, okay? When we talk about confessing the word, we're talking about speaking in line with what God's word says. Maybe not in the King James Version, but we talk about keeping our words in line with what God's word says and who he says we are and what he says we can do in ministry and witnessing to other people, etc. So your confession of faith aligns your thinking and your will with God's thinking and his will. We're abandoning the thoughts. We just read that in Isaiah. We're abandoning the old thoughts, the old way of doing, and we're accepting his thinking and speaking in line with his will. And we can listen to our words and we can know where we're headed. We're our own prophets. Amen. You can see where you're headed. You can listen to your words. And if all you're talking about is how bad your knees hurt and how bad your hips hurt and how bad your joints hurt and how bad the arthritis is and all, it's never going to change. It's never going to change because our words are taking us somewhere. God just made us that way. And sometimes we just kind of catch yourself. Y'all ever been on a lazy river at a water park? Uh-huh. We catch ourselves on this tubing on that lazy river, just going with whatever life brings us. And that current just takes us wherever it wants to. And then I thought about Rusty. When he cranks up, what kind of motor is that we have? I say we, but you know. What kind of motor's on the boat? Mercury. Well, good, that's what I had down. I thought I was right. Rusty, when he gets out on the bass boat and he goes on the Arkansas River, he does not have to go where the current takes him because the mercury is a something power, 175. Trust me, I felt it. I'll tell y'all a story after church, but there was one storm we couldn't beat, wasn't there, babe? We needed something bigger than a 175. God's got as much power as you need to get out of that current that your life has put you in. Your genetics are not cursed. You do not have to carry on the genetic curses of your family. When you have to put that, I understand why you had to put that on your paperwork. If you're going to the doctor, you're asking for their wisdom, okay? If you don't want their wisdom, don't go. That's all I got to tell you. If you're going for their wisdom, you got to be honest with them. But you do not have to receive that that's your future just because that's in your family tree, right? And so, but you've got to crank up the mercury if you're going to go against nature. That's why he gave us his word. If he wanted us just to go on the lazy river, he'd just let us be lazy and let life take us wherever and we'd go to heaven someday. Glory, glory. No, he cares about this life you're living down here. I love heaven. I look forward to heaven. I look forward to it more and more every day. I'm always saying, come, Lord Jesus. I know he's working his plan, and he's getting as many people in as he can, and we do plan on making heaven crowded, right? To famous quote that we tend to repeat. Go with me to James chapter 3. Man, time flies when you're having fun up here. I know you know these passages, but man, we got to stay on top of it. Amen. Because if we don't, the weeds start coming up in our speech, in our garden. James chapter 3, starting verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And I just put that in there for myself. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect or a mature man, able also to bridle his whole body. I know, Janine, kind of hits us in the face, doesn't it? I didn't write that. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect or mature man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, We guide their whole bodies as well. Look, the horse can want to go to the barn. But if you have the right bit in his mouth, where's Johnny? He's probably out there being security. Johnny brought a bit one night to, it's either a Wednesday night or a Timothy project. He brought a bit. There he is. Hi, Johnny. You put that bit in that horse's mouth, it puts pressure on the sensitive areas, right? And you can control it. How much your horse weigh? Around 1,200 pounds. I'm not going to ask how much you weigh, Johnny, but I know it's not anywhere near 1,200 pounds. I think I'm safe in saying that. Yet Johnny, who looks this big, and that horse, who is 1,200 pounds, looks this big, yet with a bit that's about this big in that beast's mouth, Johnny can control it, and he can make that horse go where he wants it to go. He's talking about your tongue. Trust me, we're going to go there. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. You ever been on a cruise ship? It's like a city on the water. It's the coolest thing. If you've never been, start saving up your money and believe in God for it now. You need to go. Women, you don't have to cook anything. You don't have to clean anything. There is food available 24 hours a day, gentlemen. I'm not even kidding you. And you're just out there floating on the water, and you're on this big city on the ocean. It's absolutely beautiful and so relaxing until it's not. Because even a ship can deal with some winds. I've never been on one of those cruises, nor do I desire to be. I've been on a cruise, and we had a peaceful cruise because we spoke before we went. But listen to this. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. Now look, if God's word is his will, perhaps our words need to be our will. But how many times do we speak what we fear instead of speaking what we desire? This is key here. Look at the ships. He wants us to consider it. He wants us to imagine it. He wants us to meditate on it. Though they're so large, they look like nothing could turn them, nothing could. But they're driven by strong winds. They are guided by a very small rudder. It's a very small part of that ship. In fact, I think I only walked back there and kind of observed it one time. And what the main part of it's under the water. You can't even see that it's working. But yet here we go, headed to Jamaica. Come back to me, people. Come back. We're not going to the beach yet. A very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. If you want to be in the will of God, you need to be speaking the word of God. Verse 5. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. It's a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life. Woo! Setting on fire the entire course of life and set on fire by hell. You know what? Naturally, there's no hope for the tongue. There's no hope for your words. They're going to go negative. They're going to go fear, and they're going to go negative. But listen to this. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless, evil, full of deadly poison. It's just waiting to strike. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Whole lesson right there, isn't it? From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. You know what I think he's saying right there is Susan's interpretation. That's not the way I created it to be. It was not my intent. Verse 11, does a spring pour forth from the same opening fresh and salt water? You know what? If you have a glass of fresh water and you pour salt water in it, you know what it tastes like? Yeah. Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? No. Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water? You're right. But let me tell you. You can put God's word in your mouth and you can tame your tongue.
Amen.
That's right. This is different than positive speaking. Although positive speaking has a true principle within it, it's not the truth of God's word. Just speaking positively will be better than always speaking negatively. But this isn't mind over matter. Okay? This is God's word over what matters. It's God's word over what matters. And positive speaking is great, but it doesn't have an anointing on it. God's word has anointing on it. And honestly, you can only positive speak for so long. You'll default. You'll default back. God has given you a verbal response. I believe it's why he had it written for us. Because when we've got the wrong verbal response, Matt, we can shut up. And we can go in here and we can get the right verbal response. I don't know how many of y'all have ever been through a deposition. They're horrible. They're horrible. Because the attorneys on the other side are just trying to draw the wrong response out of you. They're trying to draw what they want you to say out of you. And so with every question they ask, your mind is going, why are they asking that and why are they trying to? So you know what your attorneys do? They prepare you for depositions. Because they're gonna demand a verbal response. Life will demand a verbal response. But you need to take a moment. And you need to think where your answer is fixing to take you. And what the enemy's trying to get you to say. And you need to back it up and you need to go to the Word of God and you need to get the right verbal response for what situation you're looking at. And it will help your head. It will help the fear factor to dissipate. It'll help your vision to see things clearly. Your verbal response, your immediate verbal response is crucial. What's that Philip Steele book? First words matter, last words stand. Oh, y'all got to read it. Philip Steele. First words matter, last words stand. Think before we speak. God's given us a verbal response, but it takes discipline. What we're teaching here today takes discipline. We've used that word a lot in this series. It takes discipline to control our mouths because by nature, it's an unruly evil. But God, he spoke his word, had it written, so we can speak what is written. And don't overlook the power of it because his word has an anointing on it. It's not just positive thinking. It has God's anointing on it. And that's the difference. So connect. Work on connecting your speaker to it this week so that you'll amplify what God says instead of what the situation's trying to dictate to you. And once we believe that Jesus is the Christ, which I believe most people in here have, if you hadn't, we'll give you an opportunity to change that in a minute. But once you accept it and you confess Jesus as the Lord of your life, speaking is now your first corresponding action to your faith. God may ask you to do other things. There may be some wisdom that he tells you to implement into your business or into your family. There may be, but the first corresponding action that he asks us to do is to speak his word. We can all do that.
Amen.
We can all do that. It's the first corresponding action to our believing, and that never ends. We hold fast to the profession of our faith. We don't make a profession of our faith and then, no, hold fast, which means something's going to try to pull you away from your profession of your faith. But we are to, what is that, Hebrews 3 or 4? Hebrews, it's in Hebrews somewhere. I'll do a Dylan quote. It's in the Bible somewhere. That's our favorite Dylan quote, and it is a good one. Yes. I would try to find it, but y'all can probably find it on your phones faster than I can. I'll find it, put it on Facebook. Hold fast the profession of your faith. Hold fast. Once you say it, leave it said or repeat it said. That's the only options. Leave it said or repeat it said. It's the only option. Leave it said or repeat it said. That's the only option. Because his word's at work. It's a seed. It's in the ground. Sometimes time takes place between seed and seeing the growth from it. But don't go in there and dig up your seed to see if it's growing. That don't work. Leave it said and let the word do its work because it's working. Amen?
Amen.
Let's speak over everybody. Use our words, Catherine, before we leave, right? Father, we just thank you that your word is alive and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is an instrument of skill. It is a skillful instrument in our mouths. And anything that needs to be removed from our lives, Father, we can take your word. We can speak your word into that situation, into those habits, addictions, wrong thinking. We can speak your word and we can apply your word and we can let it do its work. Father, I just thank you for the principle, the law, if you will, of how your word works in our daily lives. Father, we're giving the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher of the church, permission to nudge us when wrong responses start coming out of our mouths. Please, Holy Spirit, remind us to change our verbal response, to change our self-prophetic words that we were speaking over our children or that we're speaking over our businesses, that we're speaking even over the weather or politics, Father. Take the negative out of our mouths. As David said, set a watch, a guard over my mouth. And we will be sensitive to it, and we will put the bit in the horse's mouth and apply pressure and not allow ourselves to say things that are contrary to your will, your way, and your word. And I thank you. We trust you with that, Holy Spirit. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And the church said,
amen. Amen.